To continue on with that series entitled 10 Things That Must Happen Before the Rapture. Now, I want to kind of refresh your memory for those of you that might not have been able to be here for the first couple of sermons we did on this. We've talked about the first two things already. Number one being that the first six seals must be broken before the rapture occurs. And the second thing is the temple must be rebuilt before the rapture occurs. Now, we're going to talk about number 3, 4, 5, and 6 today. It won't take us long. I know some of y'all Baptists, you're already going, wow, he just covered one at a time. Now he's going to go over 4 of them. We'll be here all day. I promise we won't. But guys, with all the stuff that's going on around us, I really believe that the Lord wanted me to come and wanted me to start this series and talk about this series because we need to be aware of what the Bible says about these end times that we're living in. Now, you say, well, preacher, you don't know when this is going to happen. Absolutely, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know this. I think we would be ignorant if we are not prepared for when this time begins to unfold. We need to be aware of what we're looking for. And we need to know some of the things that are going to happen prior to that great calling home of the church. What a glorious day that will be for those who are still here during that time. We will be caught up into the clouds. The dead in Christ will rise first. We'll be given that new heavenly body, free of sin for the first time ever in our lives. That'll be a great thing, won't it? We'll know no more sin. But until that day comes, we are still under the curse of sin. We're still forced to live on this earth. And guess what? It's not getting any better. It's not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse if you'll look around you and you'll turn on the TV and listen. And I really believe a lot of what we're going to talk about over the next couple of sermons here really is going to hit home with what's going on in the world today. What happened in France, what's happened right here within our borders in the United States is nothing short of some of the stuff that was prophesied by Daniel way back thousands of years ago. But we have just now started uncovering that scripture and started looking at that scripture for what it means because things are starting to happen now. We're getting concerned. We're concerned about ISIS. We're concerned about Iraq and Iran and Syria. And some of these other countries, we're concerned about immigrants from these Muslim nations coming over here to the U.S. Well, guys, we need to be concerned about what's going to happen in the end times. And that's what I want to talk to you about over this whole series of sermons, just to give you an idea. Now, some of you may be of a different thought and a different mindset than me, but I'm telling you what, based on what the scripture says, I do believe that the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, and let me clarify something for those of you who might have missed out on the first couple of sermons, there's a tribulation period and there's the great tribulation. The tribulation period is going to be the front 3.5 years of that tribulation period. We will be raptured out of here before the great tribulation occurs. That's when God really pours his wrath out on unbelieving man. In fact, the Bible says if those days were not short, no man would survive. There'd be no way you could survive that onslaught that God is going to pour out on unbelieving man. We serve a loving God, but woe be unto the people who are left here on this earth that rejected him, because there's going to come a day when his wrath will be poured out so tremendously that, and that's why I don't encourage new believers to jump right into Revelation first, because if they get over there and they start reading in Revelation 15, 16, some of those chapters there, they're going to say, well, God doesn't seem too loving to me. He's doing all these things, but this is all part of God's plan so that he can prepare this place for us and that we can all be there with him one day. I want to read just a couple of verses here today from Matthew chapter 24. This has been the text we've used because this is Jesus speaking here now. This is not something that someone wrote down secondhand that was given to them. These are the words of Jesus right here. If you have a red letter Bible, this appears in red letters right here in Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to ask all of you who can, if you will, stand to your feet. In the honor of reading God's word, we're going to start with verse 9 today. of Matthew 24. It says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Just pray now, Lord, that you'll open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds to the word. Lord, that we'll be ever mindful of what's going on around us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I've got several verses that we've kind of been using throughout this whole series, and I'm going to be referring to those verses here. And when I get done with this series, I'll be happy to make these verses available to you if you want to. And some of you have been writing them down, because it's amazing to me how almost mirror images of each other, what the prophet Daniel wrote down versus what John wrote down when he went up into heaven and saw all of this stuff that was taking place when God allowed him to come up there. It's amazingly similar, almost word for word sometimes. So Daniel prophesied this way before Jesus ever come on the scene. And John was allowed to see this way after the prophet Daniel lived. So, pretty amazing stuff. The Old Testament is full of prophecy about the end times. All you got to do is get over there and read in the prophetic books, and you'll see all of this stuff here. Let's start with number three today. Here's the third thing that must happen before the rapture can occur. The beast kingdom must be established. The beast kingdom must be established. In other words, Antichrist's kingdom must be established. Never before in the history of time has there ever been a kingdom that ruled the whole entire world in a unified state of government. But here's what's going to happen. Antichrist is going to come up. There's going to be this 10-headed beast that's spoken of in the Bible. Well, those 10 heads represent 10 governments, represent 10 kingdoms ruled by 10 kings. Out of one of these is going to come another ruler who will be the Antichrist. He's going to subdue three of those kingdoms. Now that makes me start thinking, okay, for him to do that, it has to be three kingdoms. For everybody to get fooled by Antichrist, when he rises up and he subdues three of these kingdoms of these ten, they've got to be kingdoms that everybody doesn't really like anyway, because that's how he's going to put up this smoke screen and this delusion that he's out to just really make the world a better place. So that's going to happen. If you look at Daniel chapter 7, and you might just want to write these down. I'm going to read them to you now, but just jot them down if you're keeping this. Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 27. I want to read these verses to you here real quick. Daniel 7, 23 through 27. It says, "Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Now the King James Version says time, a time and times and the dividing of time. That's referring to a 3.5-year period. That's what that means. That's what that scripture means right there. Then it goes on to say in verse 26, "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." In other words, Antichrist is going to come to rule, but God's people are going to be supreme. Amen. His children will reign supreme in the end in this place that he's prepared for all of us that are born again believers. So you see, the beast kingdom must be established first. We could not already be raptured out of here for the beast kingdom to be established based on the scripture. So that means we've got to be here, those that are still alive during that time, because this kingdom must be established. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read a couple of verses 1 through 3, and 1 through 4. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. Now listen carefully to this verse here. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? The rapture. That day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. In other words, before the rapture can occur, Antichrist must be revealed. Antichrist must be revealed. And there's going to be a great falling away. That's one of the points I'm going to make today. So you see, for it to be revealed to the saints, then the saints would have to be here for it to be revealed to them. You know, a lot of preachers have gone around, and please understand, I'm not ridiculing any pastor for his thoughts on this. I'm just basing my thoughts on what the scripture says. Now, if you want to believe a pre-tribulation rapture, that's okay. Because what did I tell you in the beginning? The important thing to remember is this. Jesus is coming back for his children. Amen. That's the important thing you got to understand. Whether you believe in pre or mid-tribulation rapture, that's not the real relevance of what I'm trying to get across. I'm trying to get across that we got to get our lives right and we got to lead others to Jesus before it's too late. That's the important thing we got to understand. So the beast kingdom must be established. Number four, point number four of the 10 things that must happen before the rapture is this. The Antichrist must make a seven-year covenant. Antichrist will make a seven-year covenant. Guys, most theologians believe that this seven-year covenant will happen as a result of that great battle that some have labeled World War III, the Battle of Gog and Magog. Many of you have heard about this before. I preached on this last week. This is going to be a great battle that's going to involve the nation of Israel. But Israel is not going to destroy these attacking forces by themselves. God himself will destroy these people who are coming against Israel. God will take a stand for the nation of Israel and he will smash all of these invading armies. Israel will be victorious. The Bible even says in the prophetic scripture that it will take 7 months to bury all the dead that will be left because of this horrific battle. Now, do you think that the climate is getting right in the Middle East now, that this great battle could erupt at any point in time? I think it is. France is now involved. Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Syria. Russia's looming on the horizon here. Guys, this is going to be a catastrophic war that I believe will involve nuclear weapons like we've never seen before. That would be the only way you could have such mass destruction of all of these people. God said he will rain fire down on these people. That could very well be in the form of nuclear weaponry. I don't know for sure, but I'm just having a feeling that that could be part of what's going to be involved in this. But nonetheless, I want you to understand this. You see, God made a covenant with Abraham way back before the nation of Israel was ever even thought about. He made a covenant with Abraham, and part of his covenant was that his descendants would be a blessed people and that people would revere them and respect them. Israel is not a respected nation right now. So God is going to have to bring that covenant to pass. And it's actually going to happen in the millennial kingdom. We'll talk about that later on. But see, here's the thing. God gives them this great victory. But here comes Antichrist. This is how you know the stuff's fixing to start unfolding. Here comes this person out of nowhere, seemingly. And he is going to reach this great covenant with the many. Now, the many is going to involve Jerusalem. And I'll tell you why. Because the temple by this time will have been rebuilt, and this Antichrist who's going to come to power, who's setting up this 7-year covenant, a lot of people believe it's going to be a peace treaty type thing, although the Bible doesn't actually call it a peace treaty. It calls it a covenant, that this is going to be set up after this great battle of Gog and Magog. Russia's going to be involved. Probably Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and all these countries are going to be involved in this great battle. Well, here comes Antichrist. And guess what? God just delivered Israel in a mighty way and let everybody know that, hey, these are my chosen people. And what do you think they do? They agree to this covenant with Antichrist for this 7-year period of time. So once again, they have violated what God was trying to do for them and through them. So now God is going to have to re-deliver the nation of Israel later on. And that is what is going to happen in the millennial kingdom. You know the only way God can do that in the millennial kingdom? He had to bind Satan and put him away for 1,000 years. Now you would think as God's chosen people that they would get the picture after wandering around in the desert with Moses, after this great battle of Gog and Magog here. But they didn't get it. So God's going to have to finally drill it into them once and for all. But this is the fourth thing that I'm trying to get across. Antichrist is going to make this 7-year covenant here. And the Bible says that basically the rapture is going to come after this covenant is made, but before the harsh stuff is actually going to start being poured out here. This 7-year covenant in Daniel chapter 9 verse 27. Here's what it says. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the King James Version, when it says 1 week, that is a 7-year period, okay? He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the middle of the 7-year period, in other words, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In other words, halfway through this 7-year period, here's what Antichrist is going to do. At that point in time, the Jews have gone back to their old ways of sacrificing in the temple. Well, he's fixing to boot them out, and he's going to move into the temple, and people will begin to worship him. He will demand it. And at that point in time is when the sixth seal is broken. And I believe at that point in time is when we're going to be raptured out of here. Because the minute he takes the place of God in that temple, then the abomination that causes desolation, as the Bible refers to, will come full hand in front of us. And God will not allow this. He's going to start pouring out one judgment after another against Antichrist and unbelieving man. So this is going to be about halfway through this 7-year covenant. The fifth thing is this. I got this one and one more and we'll be done. The Bible also says the power of the saints must be shattered before the rapture can occur. How can you shatter the power of the saints if they're not here? If they've already been raptured away, there'll be no shattering of the power of the saints. You see what I'm trying to say? The rapture cannot come until the power of the saints is shattered first. Daniel chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. I want to go back to that again. Daniel 12, 6 and 7. Here's what it says. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven. He's holding them up unto heaven. Then he goes on to say this, and swear by him that liveth forever that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. In other words, what did I tell you that was? 3.5 years. 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all of these things shall be finished. How can you scatter the power of the holy people? In other words, how can you trample on the saints if the saints weren't here to begin with? Therefore, leading to another support of the fact that we won't be raptured out of here until about halfway through that 7-year period. So you see, these are some things that have got to happen. Other scriptures reveal exactly how the power of the saints will be shattered. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, we just read it. It said, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." In other words, the believers are going to be really persecuted once Antichrist breaks down this little time of peace right here. And once he begins to assume his role of being an authoritarian dictator and ruling with an iron fist, God's people will then be persecuted. Many of them will be killed. Those that are still here during that time. That's why it said you need to flee into the hills. In other words, you better go hide yourself because he's coming looking for you. You know, a lot of people think these doomsday preppers are crazy people, but hey, they got the right idea, so to speak. They're putting up like 3 years worth of food and all this kind of stuff, building these underground bunkers, because when that time comes, if they identify you as a child of God, you probably will be killed. At the very least, you will be imprisoned or tortured. But guys, you know what? When I think about this, when I think about why I don't believe we're going to be raptured out of here just all of a sudden before any of this happens, think of what Jesus had to go through. Jesus suffered. God did not say, "My son, I'm not going to let you suffer any of this. We'll just end this thing real quick like and everything will be okay." No, he allowed him to suffer so that we could what? Live. Why shouldn't we think that we will not suffer if we're here during that time for a little bit of time at least? It makes sense to me when I think about it. So, the great tribulation can't occur unless the saints are shattered. Their power must be shattered. How can their power be shattered? They got to be here. The Antichrist can't make war with the holy ones and overcome them if they're not here. The saints can't be given into his hands for 3.5 years if they're not here. They can't be delivered to tribulation and killed, like Matthew 24, 9 says, if they're not here. They can't be beheaded if they're already in heaven. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 6. Let's look at that real quick. 4 through 6, Revelation chapter 20. This is John speaking now. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." What does that sound like right now? ISIS, right? Beheading believers right now as we speak. Then it goes on to say, "And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years, part of the millennial kingdom of Christ." These are people who came out of the tribulation, some of them beheaded for their beliefs. John saw that. How could they have been beheaded for what they believed during this time if they hadn't been in that time, right? They had to be there. That's the only way that could have happened. Now, the sixth and final thing I want to talk about today that must happen before the tribulation or before the rapture can occur is that the apostasy must come. The apostasy must come. Let's go back to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come." What day? The rapture. "Except there come a falling away first." In other words, apostasy. Apostasy means very simply this. It means the renunciation of religious faith or the abandonment of a previous loyalty. In other words, in that time, before the rapture can happen, there's going to be a great falling away of believers. Now, I've got a little theory on that too. A lot of people, how many of you believe that once saved, always saved? Raise your hand. I hope most everybody did, because I certainly believe that. If you have truly been washed by the blood of Jesus, you cannot do anything to change that. But if you weren't washed to begin with, you were only living a lie, then were you saved at all to begin with? No. And I believe that that's going to be a lot of these people that are going to fall away during this time. See, here's what's going to happen.
Whoo, I'm about to get excited up here. Amen. Here's what's going to happen. When people who were so-called believers. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you something. You can believe in something and not be saved by it. How many of you agree with that? You can have faith, but not saving faith. We all have faith that when we walk out of our house every day, that certain things are going to happen and we're going to come back and we're going to go back to our family at the end of the day. That is faith, but that's not saving faith. Coming to church every Sunday will not save you. Being a good person all your life will not save you. Those are going to be the kind of people who think that they're saved that will fall away during this time of apostasy. You know why? Because when the heat gets turned up on the people of God, the children of God, they're going to run away and say, oh, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to get my head chopped off. I don't want to get thrown in jail because of that. These are going to be the people that run away, that fall away. True believers will stand up for who they believe in. Amen. I will sit there and I will look at them. I don't care who they are, ISIS or whatever. And I will tell them directly to their face if they ask me, I am a born again believer in Jesus. And I'm not going to be ashamed of it. See, these people that are going to fall away and run away, I believe, are people who thought they were saved, but they never really were saved. You know why? Because they weren't covered by the blood. They simply went through the motions. And guess what? Churches are full of these people, aren't they? Churches are full of people who are like that. They think they're saved, but their life doesn't show it. There's nothing about them that shows they're saved. They keep doing the same wrong things over and over again. See, when you're a born-again child of God, you are not going to continue to what? Sin. I didn't say you weren't going to sin. I said you're not going to continue to allow it to be a part of your everyday life. You're going to make a change. These people that are going to fall away in what the Scripture's talking about here are people, I believe, who never really had that change happen to start with. They're going to be people who may have come to church their whole life. If they're alive when this tribulation begins and they start seeing the saints getting hammered, as the Scripture says, they're going to fall away. Oh, they'll be first in line to get the mark of the beast when they find out you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't have anything go on normally until you accept Antichrist's way of life. They're going to fall away. You see, those who are left behind here after the rapture occurs, they didn't have any faith to begin with. That's why they got left. They didn't have it to begin with. They were already faithless. These are going to be people. The ones that are going to fall away here are the ones that are going to say, well, you know what? This is just too much for me. I can't go with this anymore. And it's happening right now in churches today. Look at our church right now. You know, I believe there was a time in the life of this church, not only this one, but churches all around. These churches were full because they were people who believed in what Jesus was doing in their life and they wanted to get fed every Sunday and they were here. Now we already have a falling away. Just look at church attendance. People have fallen away already. Maybe we're in this age of apostasy. I certainly believe we are to a certain extent. People are saying, that is not important enough for me to come every Sunday and be a part of this. Now, I understand people have obligations. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are sitting at home right now at church that could be here right now today. You see, that's apostasy. That's falling away from what you believe. And that's what's going to happen in the end times. There's going to be a great falling away. The Bible already says it. Matthew chapter 24, 9 and 10 says that we're going to be delivered unto what? Tribulation. And they will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. This is where those apostates are going to run away. Because they're going to be like, I'm not going to suffer because of this God. I thought you were a God of love. I thought you were a God who cared about me. I'm not going to sit here and get beheaded and get thrown in prison and get tortured. I'm going to leave. And that's what they're going to do. And guess what? Then Christ is going to rapture the church away. And where are they going to be? Left behind.
Now, that doesn't mean they can't get saved. There are going to be people that get saved in the tribulation, but it's going to be very difficult. You know why? Because Antichrist is going to keep hammering after people. He's going to keep hunting them down. He's going to try to find them out. They're not going to be able to go out in public and buy things if they don't have that mark of Antichrist. So it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, for this to happen. So, in closing, I just want to say this today. Guys, we're already living in an apostate type of environment today. Oh, when 9/11 occurred, you couldn't find a seat in church, hardly. People came running back to church. Now things have gotten back out of whack again. But it's going to take some major things. See, that's the problem with people who say they're believers, but who in their heart really aren't. They'll come for a little while, but then they run away. Then they go away. I'm telling you what, guys, I don't know when this is going to happen, but that's why I'm preaching about these things that have got to happen first. We better keep our eyes open. We better keep our ears open. We better get our lives in line. And if we're not really saved, we better get saved. Amen. Because there are people that are living a lie right now that if Jesus came back today, they'd be left here. Of course, these things are going to happen. I'm talking about if this were in the tribulation time and he came back, they'd get left here. And some of them don't seem to be too concerned about it. They come to church. You know why they're not concerned about it? Because not enough preachers are preaching about what's going to really happen in the end. They're scared to preach about it. Well, I'm not, because I want to see everybody that's in this sanctuary one day inhabit the new earth together, and I want us to continue our relationship in a sin-free world. Won't that be great? Amen. That's going to be a great time. But I also don't want to look around and see some of you not there because you thought you were who you were not. You see, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto the Father but by me. In other words, if you don't acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord of your life, that he died on the cross, that he was buried, that he was resurrected, and that he did it to save you from your sins, if you have not confessed that and spoken that to Jesus, you're not saved. You can be the goodest person. Goodest, is that a word? Best person in the world. I almost said goodest. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't teach English. Amen. All right. You can be the goodest person in the world. Amen. That ain't going to get you to heaven. You can come to church every Sunday. That's not going to get you to heaven. It's when you get on your knees and you invite Jesus into your heart that you will get to heaven. That's the only way it's going to happen. But some people live their lives as though they've got all the time in the world for that to take place. I want to rejoice with Brother Bud back there. He shared with me that his brother came to know the Lord before he died, and he was really concerned about that. Praise God. His name's in the Lamb's Book of Life now. He'll be there when the roll is called. But I know I've got some relatives that right now they won't be there because their name's not in there. And I need to do more about making sure that their name is in there. And we all need to do that. I want, as we come up and have our invitation, I want us to come and pray specifically for our loved ones, for people we come in contact with. There's going to be things that have to happen before the rapture can occur. And thank God there has to be these things, because if he were to just whisk us out of here, unbeknownst to any of us. Now, certainly, we're not going to know the day and hour when that's going to happen, but we can get an idea of when it's going to get close to happening by when we start seeing some of these things come to pass that the Bible speaks of. We need to pray for our loved ones. We need to pray for ourselves sometimes, because sometimes our lives are not living a life of sacrifice for Jesus. We're fooling people into thinking that we're born again believers. Our actions show something different. I want to encourage you to come and pray today. Pray for our church. Pray for this world. Pray that God's saving grace will be offered up to people who need it throughout this world. And guys, we need to be a part of that. The Great Commission is not for just preachers and Sunday school teachers and missionaries. We're all missionaries when it comes to that. So I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. God, I thank you for your word, for us being able to look up the scripture and see what it says is going to happen as we near the end of time here as we know it. Lord, you tell us in your word, the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, those who know Jesus as their Savior. What an awesome thing that will be. So, Lord, if it means we lose our life, we've gained eternal life if we're a child of the King. Help us to not be worried or scared or anything, Lord. To me, if you're scared about dying, you're not sure about your salvation. I'm not scared to die, Lord. I'm not ready to go necessarily, but I'm not scared to die. And I just pray, God, that you'll help us to have that kind of mindset, Lord. I pray that you'll help us to witness to our loved ones, our friends, our co-workers. And God, I pray that we will see more people come to know you before these times begin to unfold, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing, Becky? 423. Let's stand and sing hymn number 423.